Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 to 6. The righteous branch. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I, myself, will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour.
Second reading is Luke chapter 23, verses 33 to 43. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered him. They said, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar and said, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung in there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, we just pray for Ian now as he comes to talk to us. Lord, we just thank you for the words that you've placed on Ian's heart. Lord, just speak and fill him with your Holy Spirit now, so that this message he has for us will have deeper resonance into our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying, Andrew. And thank you, Peter and Gillian, for reading those readings with expression and drama. I love that stuff. That's great. This week, I was watching a video all about how they steered the Titanic, would you believe? How, when you turned the wheel on the bridge, it compressed a cylinder, and that sent hydraulic fluid down pipes all the way to the stern. And there it went into another cylinder in the stern of the ship, which controlled a steam engine, would you believe? And the steam engine drove gears, and the gears moved the 100-ton rudder. And that eventually turned the ship. Actually, apparently, it was quite manoeuvrable. The steam engine was quite an innovation. Well, today is a little bit like that. Today is the day when the church year turns from one year to another. Since way back Easter and Ascension and Pentecost, we've been thinking about the early Christians in the Acts of the Apostles, and indeed how we should live as followers of Jesus in the world. And then in the past few weeks, since All Saints' Day, we've been focusing on what it means for us to be citizens of heaven, people of the kingdom of God. And that's why this time of year is the season for example, memorial services and for Remembrance Sunday, for thinking, in other words, about those loved ones that we remember personally, and also about those who've laid down their lives for king and country, and also about the believers who've gone before us, what we call the communion of saints. And so today is called Christ the King, when we focus on Jesus, exalted to the throne of heaven, seated in glory at the right hand of the Father, a flesh and blood human being, just like you and me, and yet in the place of greatest power and authority in the creation. And today is also called the Sunday next before Advent, because next week, of course, is Advent Sunday, when we begin to think about Christ's return, his second coming, which John Pitts last week said he believed would be very soon indeed because of all the wars and fighting in the world, and which Ian McCallum 2 weeks ago explained to us about the second coming and what it might be like. Both of those sermons, incidentally, available to listen again if you want to on the Mark Tay Church website. And of course, Advent is also the preparation for Christmas, isn't it? Thinking too of Christ's incarnation, his birth at Bethlehem. And as if all that wasn't enough, today's also our gift day. And I could have spoken in my sermon now about generous giving, but I thought instead I would focus on Christ the King, because he's the reason for the season. He's the Lord that we worship. He's the motivation for our giving. Thank you to our readers. The reading that Peter read from Jeremiah describes their shepherds who are not caring for the sheep. And he's talking really about the priests and the leaders of the people under whom the people have been punished and taken into exile in Babylon, far away. But God promises a better future. A descendant of King David will come to rescue them, a righteous king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Peter read, in his days Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. In other words, God himself will come to save his people. So this is the promise in Jeremiah, the promise of a Messiah. And pretty much like all the promises in the Old Testament, the promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Don't interpret the promises literally, as some people do, thinking that, for example, they're fulfilled in the 21st century land of Israel, or in the political nation of Israel, or in the physical temple building in Jerusalem. That's not the key to it all, because time and again, Jesus in the Gospels, Jesus pointed his followers not to the things of this age, which is passing away, but to their true fulfillment in the kingdom of God. The shepherds on earth, the human leaders, all have their failings. They let you down in the end. Maybe experience has taught you that, I don't know. None of us is perfect, though. All men and women will all fail at some point, even the best of us. Even in the Bible, when you read the stories of the saints of old, they all had their failings, didn't they? Noah got drunk. Abraham passed off his wife as his sister. Joseph, well, he was big-headed, wasn't he? David murdered Uriah and then committed adultery with his wife, Bathsheba. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary was rebuked by Jesus for misunderstanding his vocation and trying to get into act too soon. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, didn't he? Daniel, well, perhaps he does the best of all. He doesn't seem to have many failings. But among those born of women, only Jesus was without sin. And so the promises of a Messiah and of a kingdom, they are all fulfilled in Jesus. And that, to be honest, that's why we are Christians. That's why today is the feast of Christ the King. Because this truth about Jesus is our pole star, and the Christian year turns around this point. The reading that Gillian read from Luke's Gospel. You can see that really clearly. And the funny thing is, it's at the point, the exact point, where you might expect Jesus' kingship, his power, to be destroyed and obliterated. The disciples and the people, they hailed Jesus as the Messiah, didn't they? They thought, yes, this is the king who will rescue Israel from the Romans. And now in the reading that Gillian read, here he is being crucified by the Romans. It looks as if all Israel's hopes have been crushed. It looks as if Caesar has won the day. They pin up that notice above Jesus' head on the cross. This is the King of the Jews, and look what we've done to him. This is the King of the Jews, I-N-R-I in Latin. But as Jesus told Pilate, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And actually the thief on the cross is the one who recognizes that. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answers him not, oh, I'm sorry, it's all gone wrong. No, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, yes, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Now, our world is fast losing respect for Jesus, for Christians, and for the church. Jesus doesn't seem to match the world's ideal of a Messiah. He's not the right kind of king for this materialist age. But we who are here, we recognize him as the true shepherd of the sheep, the true king of God's people. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And so if we have eyes to see it, his kingdom is already here, breaking into this world every time we see God at work. And many of you have already said you saw that yesterday. You see that every time somebody comes seeking God. And that's why we're here today, isn't it? To worship him, to celebrate the signs of his kingdom among his people and indeed out in our world, and to begin again to look for his coming in Advent. Jesus gave his life on the cross, didn't he? Jesus was, if you like, the ultimate expression of God's generosity, God's gift to us. And so that's perhaps a reason why today is also our gift day. And so we gave you all this excellent leaflet produced by Chelmsford Diocese. Many people have asked me why on earth we have to pay parish share. What is that? What's it all about? Well, this leaflet explains it. It explains where the money goes to and where it comes from. It's actually one of the best explanations I think I've ever seen. So do please read it. Don't just pop it on a shelf or something. It's not that long. It really isn't. But I recommend it. And if God moves you to give, then do please sign up to make a donation, either a one-off or a regular donation to the church, however modest the amount. And that will go into our PCC general fund. Or if you want to particularly specify where you want it to go, do have a word with Yvonne, our treasurer. So thank you all for coming, thank you for listening, and thank you for your generous giving. Amen.
Thank you, Ian. I think it was talk, I thought, Jesus is our King. He's the one we look to. the one we follow. He's the one who leads us, the one who cares for us and wants the very best for us, as we've heard today already.